Okay, so we're going to start off Kuf Ches on the days, the very bottom, four lines from the bottom. Tanya, Nami Halacha, the Gemara discussed most of the Tilas Yadayim. How much one must be careful to wash his hands before he touches any part of his body and before he goes to and before he touches food. Just give me 1 second on this article Gemara to get ready for what's coming towards us. Got to get ready for this major sugi here. I wish I prepared more today. I'm starting from Kuf Ches in the base. I'm starting from the very bottom. Okay, today is Daf Kuf Tes. But we're starting from the very bottom of Kuf Ches on the base, where the Gemara says, Tanu Tanya Nam Yochi, 1, 2, 3, 4. Tanya Nam Yochi, Amar Rimoyne, Mishum Rabihuda, Toiva, Tipa, Soyne, and Shachwis. It's good, a drop of cold water in the morning, Urchitzas Yadayim Raglaim Arvis, Mikol Ki Loirin Shiboylam. It is better to apply, to put in your eyes, Tipas and Rashdan's Losses Veinav. It's Kedai to put in your eyes a small drop of. Okay, it's making a lot of noises. I don't know why it's making so much noise. That thing over there.
It should be louder.
But it's making
that's why. Lower that. Make this higher.
It
should be
okay, it's high. Okay, it's okay. I don't know. Every night is different. I don't know what triggers the feedback. Alright. It's good to put a little bit of tibasan in shachas. It's kedai to put a small drop of cold water in your eyes in the morning. Or echitzas yodai v'raglayim arvis, and to wash your hands and feet in hot water in the evening. Now that's for the purpose of your eyes. Interesting. Washing your hands and feet have a direct effect on your eyes, the Gemara says. In the evening, that's what Rashi says. That's how Rashi learned pshat in the Gemara. Maybe you'll find other, you shouldn't have a different mahalach in the Gemara, but Rashi learned pshat in the Gemara. We're dealing here with the eyes. It's kedai to put a small drop of cold water in your eyes in the morning when you wake up.
You mean tanglas?
What?
Negelvasa.
No, your eyes. This is not negelvasa. Negelvasa is for your hands. The eyes. Don't dry your hands and your eyes. Toiva, it's good. Tibas, sudden shachwas, urechitzas to wash your dying braglaim arvis in the evening. And somehow Rashi says it's not clear. We don't know. Maybe you talk to a doctor, see what they say about this. Nami mi'ira hoinaim. An unbelievable Rashi, an unbelievable Gemara. Washing your hands and feet at night have an effect on the eyes. Unbelievable. Mikol ki loirin. Ki loirin is a key word for an eye medicine, an eye anointment and an eye medication. This is a term, it's miyuchid for the eye, sheb olam, all of the best doctors with the best medicines cannot come near the benefit one can do for his eyes by putting a little small drop of cold water in it. It's good, it's very good now. A little drop of cold water of eyes and a little drop of cold water in the morning and to wash your hands and feet at night with hot water. Vita. Does it say hot water? The Gemara doesn't say hot water. It just says tibasen shachs or chitz stein raglaim. Rashi, does it say hot water? No, just water, any water. And what does it say on the side of my Gemara? No, on the side of my Gemara, I have in the oiz v'chadav another girsa. Tzarach loymar rechitzas yodayim v'raglaim bechamin oruch erich kilo. Okay, so the oruch had a different girsa now, Gemara. His girsa was that you shall wash in the evening your hands and feet with hot water. Vita. Next, he would say the same. This person, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda would say the same. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda would say the same. He would say as follows: Yad lo ayin. If chas v'shalom, a person puts his hand in his eyes before he washes negelvasa mayim in the water, you wash the until he die in the water. Tikot say it's better the hand should be cut off because the eye has a ruach ra and it's poisonous to the eye. Yad l'chayim. If the hand touches the nose, Tikot say it's better the hand should be cut off than allow one's hand to touch his nose and cause a shade, the demon, the ruach ra to touch his has an effect on his neshama. Yad lepeh, the yad to the mouth, tikotzeit should be cut off. Yad leoizen, tikotzeit. Yad la chasuda. The chasuda, Rashi learns, is Ribda the Kolisna, the place where you put the needle for the bloodletting. People would go often for bloodletting. We discussed this, that today the ancients, when you go to a barber today, they would see that white thing that spins in front of a barber shop. They even have it in Eretz Yisrael. That white, you know what that stands for? Go check it out. Check it out. That was the ancient sign for bloodletting.
That's why it's red.
Yes. Yes, why it's red?
Yeah.
I'm the blue.
Not blue, red. There's like a line that goes around.
There's no blue when that thing goes around?
Oh, yeah.
They have these really nice ones. Check it out. In ancient times, did you know this? In ancient times, the blood, we for sure know this, right? In ancient times, the barbers had a dual, wasn't he couldn't get a panos to the barber? They also did bloodletting, the double service. You come to the barber, and he cuts your hair, and he does bloodletting. So there was no sign for being a barbershop. The sign was the spinning thing, whatever it was, that symbol, whatever it was, that was on a bloodletting. So somehow, then even Ad Hayom Hazeh, this became the universal symbol for a barber, even though if you check out the source, you will discover it was primarily used to advertise that you are a bloodletter. Today, they'll let blood, they'll put them in jail in 2 minutes. But Yad Lachasuli, for the person touches the part of the body where they had the opening where the blood would be, it seems it could be they even had a permanent opening, a special place where they let blood. Yad lachasudu tikatis, the hand should be cut off. Yad la oma, the oma is the pitavas. There's ketanim and gedolim. We all know this. So the gedolim is called the oma. So yad la oma tikatis. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Just the opposite. Yad la oma is the ketanim. I'm sorry, is the ketanim. That's the erva tikatis. Yad la pitavas. That is the gedolim. That tikatis. Yad la gigis. Now this is no locha. This is no gelocha lemaisa. Yalagigis, I'll show you one moment, tikotzeitz, if it touches the barrel of wine. In other words, besides that it's a sakan, when a person wakes in the morning, there's a ruach ruach that is shayah on his hands. And if he touches part of one of his openings, his eyes, his ears, his nose, his mouth, or the opening is a low part of the body, it's sakana, it's also a sakana to touch food. And indeed, in ancient times, looking at in Makaros, the Shulchan Aruch, you touch food before you wash your hands, they would throw the food in the garbage. Oh, but it's Bal Tashchis. No, it's not Bal Tashchis. The food is poisoned by the Ruach Ra. So if the wine touches Legigis, a flask, a barrel of beer, Legigis, a barrel of beer, which is very popular, Tikotzeitz, better the hand should be cut off than touch the barrel of beer because you're poisoning the beer with Ruach Ra. Yad Misame, because now the Gemara explains the Yad is Misame, this hand that has Ruach Ra can cause blindness. Yad Machareshes can cause deafness. Yad Male Polypos. If you touch your mouth and nose, it's not a sakana, but it causes bad breath, some type of disease. Halacha Lemaisa, I think the Mishnah Berurah, the Kitz Shorach talks about this, the Shorach, I saw it called the Shi'odim, Mitzion B'Halacha, he cites Sus, that Bizman Hazeh, we're not so makbid on this. It's not the end of the world if you don't wash your hands and you touch part of your body. Because Bizman Hazeh, it's not Shchiach among us, Ruach Ra. This is some type of spiritual demons, some Kabbalistic things, and many places consider Bizman Hazeh doesn't exist, or it exists in a much lesser form, and we need not be concerned about it so much. But of course, it goes, I think you should not touch your eyes, your nose, your ears, and parts of your body without washing the tilas yadayim, and without making a bracha. That's pashit. But now, what's not from the lochel maisa? That let's say you touch food. So in ancient times, time of the Gemara, you touch food, you touch a piece of bread without washing, you wake up in the morning, and you wash with Purell. Okay, let's go back 1,000 years. We'll take back with you in the time machine a bottle of Purell. Go back 1,000 years, wake up in the morning, and you wash your hands with Purell. Purell removes all the germs, so you can be 100% certain that your hands are cleaner than if they would have been cleaned with water. You can be certain. They got the real good stuff, right? Kills all the bacteria. Guaranteed. But there's a ruach ra that's shayra. If you touch bread, what would they do with the bread in time of Chazal? With all your Purell in the garbage. In the garbage. The Paiskim say that Bizman Hazeh, don't throw it in the garbage. Because Bizman Hazeh, there's no ruach ra. Half of a fella. Even bread. So you just you can rub it a little bit. If you can't really rub it, it's okay. You don't have to throw bread bizman hazeh in the garbage. It's an incredible chiddush. Support that in the place. Look at the Shurim Salach. He brings down. I remember he brings it down from the Shabu brings it down even. I don't remember exactly. I remember seeing this clearly, at least for sure, in the Sha'odin Mitzion Bahalach in this parish in Kitz Shulchan Aruch. And one of the first few simonim, you don't throw bread and food bizman hazeh in the garbage. If you can wash in water, very good. Take your apple, to have an apple, so rinse it in the sink 3 times. Maybe even pour water on it, but there's no ruach ruach b'sman hazeh, so don't get carried away with this. Tanya, Rabbi Nasnoi Mer, bas chayrin hu rizo. This demon is bas chayrin. It's a free spirit. It can do whatever it wants. Umaped umakpedes ad sheyirchoitz yodav gimel pamim, and it's very makpid on a person who will attack. It's prone to cause harm until you wash your hands 3 times. Mishnah Berurah, what does Mishnah Berurah say you should do? You should wash your hands 4 times. Not like the Gemara. Why? Because after you wash your hand 3 times, you extract the Ruach HaTumah, and now you need a 4th time to remove the Ruach HaTumah from your hands. It's Machlekes, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he's Chelek in the Mishnah Berurah. He holds you don't have to wash 4 times. 3 times is enough. Makes no mention of 4 times. The Mishnah Berurah explicitly says you have to wash 4 times. 3 times to remove it, and then the 4th time to pour away, to pour off the dirty water which has the Ruach HaRa. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Puch Mavi. Now this is, I have no idea what this means. Puch means the eye applicator. It's a makeup. Women applied makeup with this puch. Puch is just like a pencil or a cotton swab, and they would put it on their eyes to apply eye makeup on their eyes. So this puch has a koyach. It's besides the fact that it's an eye makeup, mavir bas melech. The bas melech is a term that refers to the demon. Okay, demon is called bas melech. It takes away the damage that the demon has done to the eyes because this woman or this man did not wash their hands in the morning after they woke up. And if you apply this eye makeup to your eyes, it will reduce tearing. The eyes will not produce that much moisture. Umabe seyar be'afapayim, eyelashes. Eyelashes, not the eyebrows, the eyelashes. It caused the eyelashes to grow long, which is very healthy, the Gemara seems to say. You have to go to a stylist if it's a male, have long eyelashes. Short eyelashes, you have to ask your daughter's wife. But, period. Tanya Namihachi, Rabbi Yosef, Emer Puch Mar Bas Melech. Removes this demon, it diminishes tears, Now, olin means, now we know the yisur, we have this many times. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to take medicine. It's a gzerah. Gzerah is chazal, because you may come to grind up ingredients on Shabbos. Grinding ingredients is schitas sammonim, it's a melocha deraisa of toichin. You're not allowed to grind ingredients on Shabbos. If it's a dasmid derabon, I'm taking medicine, even though I'm eating leaves. I'm eating grass. What am I doing already? I'm eating grass or leaves. No, don't eat grass, don't eat leaves, special types of exotic fruits that you'd only eat for refuah purposes, because if you're going to eat these things for refuah, you'll slide down the slippery slope. And next Shabbos, not only will you eat the leaves, you'll grind it up to produce a powder, to put it in a little capsule, to take it in its preferred way. So therefore, it's forbidden to take medicine on Shabbos. You ask, Bizman Hazer, we don't do this anymore. Enochanami, big sugi in the Paiskim of Moshe, if you can take an aspirin today. Derech Klal, if you're so sick, you need to ask the Shayla of Derech Klal. It always happens. I once had a very big Paisik, and he said, he never, ever, as a big Paisik, he never in his life told a person who came to him on Shabbos with a shiloh, can I take medicine, told him no. Because every time someone came to him and they really came out of the kach, they came to him to ask him a shiloh, can I take the medicine? He already saw they were already a begeder, a real chayla, that the gzera doesn't apply, that you can be makel b'sman hazen, allow him to take medicine on Shabbos. Unbelievable. Okay, I don't know if every place is so makel. From mild headache, l'chor, you're not allowed to take an aspirin. Pashup shot. Leaves. So what about eating leaves? So it's no prohibition. You know why? Because people, because it's not a refuah. It doesn't do anything. You're wasting your time. If it's not a refuah, you want to eat it, so eat it. People in the street say it's, oh, this, you're taking it for medicine purposes. They don't know what they're talking about. Rashi, Olin Kach Shem Ha'esav, it's the name of a grass, it's not a leaf, it's the name of a grass. Eim Mishum Refuah Be'achilasa L'Hoyer Anayim T'Loy Masu. People, even though in the street, people are saying, eat this grass. By eating this grass, your eyes will be healed. The person is suffering from an ailment of the eyes, and he's told, eat this herb, and you will be healed. So if he eats it on Shabbos, people are saying, oh, he is violating the Takan of Chazal, and he's taking medicine on Shabbos. Guess what? He has done nothing wrong, because it's a narishkeit. It doesn't heal his eyes. So he's not taking medicine. Vaita, Omar, Rav Yosef, Kusparta. You know what Kusparta is? I have no idea. Maybe we'll have the art called Kusparta. It's a type of alindra, a certain type of herb, I assume. It's a certain type of herb. Kus what? Coriander? Coriander? Okay. Ein boy mishum refuah, there's no refuah, it's mutter. Next, I'm going to change this. Kishus, hops. You know what hops are? They used to make beer out of hops. Kishus, it's a grain, right? It's a grain. Kishus, ein bohem mishum refuah, there is no prohibition, and you can do it. I assume these things, it appears to be for the eyes. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, kuspart, feel the koshali. He says, okay, so he was blind, and not only does not do refuah. Amar Rav Yosef Kuspart, he was blind. Afidu l'didi koshali. Not only does it not heal, it ruins the eyes. And Rav Yosef said, I'll prove it to you. I'm blind. I can't see. And even for me that can't see, it causes harm. Kol shekein, it's going to cause harm for a person that can't see. So therefore, it's not a refuah. If a person eats it, he has not done anything wrong. So he has eaten an exotic dish. There's one thing to eat on Shabbos, exotic foods. And then there's something else when you're eating l'shem refuah. If you can eat an exotic food and it's not a refuah, gesunta, hey, do whatever you want. Amar Rav Sheshes, gar gira. What is gargira? You can help me on all these things. What does it say in the art scroll, gargira?
Rocket.
Some type of herb. Afilu.
Even for me.
What?
Rachesh was also blind.
Rachman, let's start. Afilu lididi mali, it's good for me as well. And the Afilu knows, so he disagrees. Afilu lididi mali. So this is fakert. Rashi says the Maori Naim Ano, I'm blind. Ma'al Yali Mimela, this would be asur to eat on Shabbos. All variety of kishus, haps. It's a variety of grain. All variety of kishus, sharul is mutter, labar mi taruza, except for the variety called taruza. This is only meant for refu. Rashi says, "Aim of the mechal el refu b'muchah milson." Therefore, it is aser. Amar Rav Chista, "Sharika tav yashari," and this means you take an egg and you crack an egg and you pour it on roasted meat. Now, what's the problem? Now, look at Rashi. Rashi, "Sharika tav yelishrek to smear." V'lotoach, two words which mean the same thing at the same level. Lishrek v'lotoach shemen ubeitzim, oil and eggs. Megugolin, roasted eggs. Megugolin, there are, I guess it's some they were roasted. Al hatzli on roasted meat. Kishucham mishachashecha, when the roasted meat is hot, you take the roasted meat off the grill. It's Shabbos night, it's Friday night. You take it off the grill, and then you take some oil and some roasted eggs that I guess also hot, and you smear it on top of the roasted meat. Shori. Why? Now, what should be the problem? The problem is, we'll see in a moment, it's marasine. It looks like you're about to cook. It looks like you're cooking. It's a whole. The whole issue over here is marasine. It looks like you're about to cook the egg and the oil. Even the oil, we had a whole sugya about oil. Oil is davar, which is not shaykh bishel. It's not shaykh to be mevashel oil. It doesn't cook. Water boils. Water cooks. When you reach the boiling point, so it's bishel. Even if before the boiling point. Yes, let this whole shayla. What's the boiling point for water? What's cooking? It's a whole big machlekas. When is it? How high? How when is it also to heat up water? But oil, the Gemara is the sugi. The Gemara pashas this oil never cooks. So there's no prohibition of heating up oil. But here it looks it's still also because it looks like you're cooking. You're repairing. You're making repairs to the food. So, to smear oil and eggs on tavia. Tavia is roasted meat, is mutter, because it does not look like you are doing anything on imin misaking. Let me ask one second. Okay, fine. It's mutter, sorry. But piapue beye, however, but to take eggs and to whip them and to stir them, that is aser. Why? Because that already looks like you're being misaking. You're preparing them for cooking. It's marasayin. People are going to suspect, if you take eggs, they see you holding in your hand eggs, and you're stirring the eggs, you're whipping the eggs, they're going to suspect that in 5 minutes you're going to light up the fire, and you're going to roast the eggs, you're going to make scrambled eggs on Shabbos. It's a very unique halacha. There's something called Maris Ayin when it comes to the kitchen. It's incredible chiddush. How are the applications of this halacha? I do not know. It's not, does not have to be brought down in Shulchan Aruch, this, such a concept of Mar, either it's mutter or it's us. I take eggs. You want to gurgle eggs, right? You wake up and you're a chazan. It's Rosh Hashanah morning. You want to take some raw eggs. You want to spin them. You're stirring them. The Gemara says that it's also. It looks like you're about to make scrambled eggs. Rosh Hashanah morning. Shabbos morning. It's also. The Gemara says not so fast. Ma'isa Shehoya. Debisu de Ze'ire. The wife of Ze'ire of the Leil L'chia Barashi. She made for L'chia Barashi. What did she do? She made scrambled eggs. She stirred the eggs. V'chi barashi v'loi ochal, he didn't eat it. She took the eggs. Now, wait, v'loi ochal. So he protested. And what exactly did she do? Going back to the first case, okay, where she took eggs and ate them. That will eggs that already were scrambled, eitz in megugolim, roasted eggs. The eggs were partially scrambled, and she smeared the oil and the eitz in megugolim, the roasted eggs, on hot meat. And what did Ziri, the Mr. Ziri of the Lay Lechia Bar, the wife of Ziri, of the Lay Lechia Bar Ashi? So it seems the Lechia Bar Ashi was a Talmud. The Talmud came for breakfast, okay, or came for dinner, Shabbos night. So the wife, the hostess, says, what would the Talmud, the student, like to eat? I would like some roasted meat. Okay, real good, very good taste. He wants only the best. A $100 steak I want. And so she took out the steak. She prepared, it was already prepared, I guess, for Shabbos. So she now took some eggs and some oil, and she began to smear it as a topping on the steak. And the Talmud, the student, v'lo yochal. He told the Rebbetzin, you don't know what you're doing. You're smoking like Chal Shabbos. You give me such a thing. You go and you take a oil and eggs. Amalei, so she said to the student, you're greater than your Rebbe. Your husband, my husband, who's your Rebbe, he eats it. So you, the Talmud, know better. There's a story with Rav Aaron Koller. One of the Bachim came to Rav Aaron Koller. It's a true story. Came to Rav Aaron Koller. And Friday, whatever, Shabbos night, and he asked either of Aaron Koller, or who made the cake, who made the food over here, and he said, my rabbit said, Rav Aaron Koller, and he asked about some questions, so the boss, I'm not eating it, it's not kosher, it's not good enough for me. Okay. V'loy ochal. It's a famous story. I don't know the details. There's more to the story. V'loy ochal.
I know you got invited the second time.
Amr le, for your Rebbe, it's good enough. V'ochal, v'yad le ochle, v'yach le ochalta, and you, the Talmud, it's not good enough. So the Gemara is talking, it wasn't good enough because there are different opinions in this and that. He came from a different school of thought. What does he say? A person is permitted to put yayin tzalul, clear wine, umayim tzilulin l'secha mishmeres b'shabes vein choishesh, and he doesn't. So the reason why it was good was because Zairi was very lenient in these matters. Here's the example: if you have a boirer, are you allowed to sift something on Shabbos? So the answer is, of course not. But there's an exception. The exception is if the food already is good the way it is. It's already fit for consumption. The psoilus is so minor, it's so small, no one even bothers to remove such small amount. So if it's already fit for consumption, you want to be duboyer in order just to enhance it even more? Then it's mutter. That is not called boirer min haTorah. So same principle over here. Ziriyam damar dizivutim adiyamas damar ziri. This is the yain tzalul. Because you can't drink the water the way it is. There are bugs, if you are of that opinion. If you are from those who do not drink the water because you hold that there are bugs in the water, you can't drink the water.
Yeah, but you can't.
So the boirer accomplishes something. No, the people who insist on filtering the water are of the opinion that you can see the bugs. Let's make it very clear. They tell you that you can see. It may be that you can't necessarily see exactly what it is unless you have a microscope. But you can see it. If you can see a speck, I see a black dot in the water. I see it. I see the black dot. It's there. I cannot see if that is a bug or that is a speck of dirt. I need a microscope to magnify it to see if this little leg's crawling around. But without the microscope, the naked eye, I can see that this is a black speck. So many, many poskim hold that is problematic. That's really a madrega where you need to filter the bug. What?
I've never seen anything in water.
Okay, nechnami. A lot of people claim they've never seen anything in water. That's why many people do not have filters because they don't see anything in the water. And the truth is, it's already been proven that it all depends where you live. The copepods only develop to the degree where you can see them as if the water stagnates, and in different parts of Brooklyn that has a different rate of
stagnation.
If the water, you're near an apartment building where every other second where the toilet is being flushed and water is constantly flowing, the copepods do not last in the pipes long enough for them to grow to a degree, to a size where they can be seen by the naked eye. If you live on a dead end street, and it's in the middle of the summer, hot summer, and everyone on the block is swimming, they're away the whole summer in the country, so maybe that part, that dead end street, you may actually see some pretty big specks in your water on that particular week in the summer. So it varies greatly. Varies greatly. And then you get into another issue. Even if you can see the specks of water, there are many poskim that say it was noilat in the water, and the pipes are not called kalim. It's all one continuous extension of the natural habitat. And even if you can see them, even if they're large like water bugs, you can drink them. So you're getting into many, many shilas. Right. There are many definitions, many different opinions. But over here is Ziriyama, Noisin, Adam, Yayin, so a person can pour clear wine with Mayim, Mutsulim, Sokham, Ashram, Shmeres into a seed, Beshabbos, Ve'ein, Choshesh. And you need not worry, it's okay. And what's the issue? So, what do we learn from Ziri? Kevan dimishdote, Hachi, since the water can be drunk the way it is, it does not need filtering, Lav, Midi, Kovid. So, the Gemara wants to extract that principle and apply it to the case of the roasted fish, the roasted meat. I'm sorry, the roasted
meat. Hachinami. Kevin the misachli the mischil hachi. Since the meat can be eaten the way it is, there's nothing wrong with adding, not being misaking. There's nothing wrong with taking some oil and taking some egg and smearing it on the meat, because the meat can be eaten the way it is. You're not doing anything new to enhance it. Hachinami. So hachalav meat covered. You're not doing anything further to the meat. Rashi demis chachi beloy shurika. The meat is fit to be eaten the way it is. It's fine. Weiter. V'yamarukva nu halacha mishnah for yodei ragla nu halacha. Now we discuss some more laws of rufa. A person who has injured his hinder foot, so tzom sabayin, so soak it in wine. Now, if someone walks into your home and sees that your feet are being soaked in wine, what in the world is going on here? Obviously, the doctor prescribed that your feet should be soaked in wine for refuah, because you don't soak your feet in wine; you soak your feet in water if you need to clean your feet on Shabbos. Tzom sabayin of ein chayshish. You know why? Because people do this sometimes. Because some, it's not nikola hedya, it's not 100% noticeable that you're doing your shem refuah, because sometimes when you don't have enough water, so you use wine instead of water. That's the way it was in ancient times. Wine was very common, prevalent. People would do it, therefore it's not nikor lehedya that you're doing your l'shem refu avaita. What about vinegar? Vinegar already is a different madrig. It's very powerful, very potent. It's very strong. So you only would soak your feet in vinegar for refuah. Maybe that's nikor lehedya, it's lehedya. And anything that's obvious that's been done l'shem refu is aser. They said cholo lo, it's forbidden. It's forbidden to soak your hands and feet in vinegar because it's obvious you're doing it for l'shem refuah. Of course, if it's a sakana, you can do it. We're dealing with it's not a sakana, it's no emergency. You can wait until Shabbos over. You want to get the process going now. Can you do it? So Morris says no, because it appears you're doing l'shem refuah. Amar Ravach v'ha b'nei Mechuza, with regard to the people who live in Mechuza, a certain part of Bavel, kevod de mafanke, the very delicate people, the very pampered life. By them, even wine, even if something touches their flesh, they're very sensitive. So wine is already too potent for them. They don't soak their feet in wine just to clean their feet, because it's too delicate to use wine. So if you see one of these guys soaking their feet in wine, it's only because of refuah, and therefore they may not use wine for refuah. He saw that he was soaking his feet. He saw the darach means he was soaking. He was soaking his feet. Leil chamer agaba the kara. Agab means the sole of the foot, not the top where the ankle is, but mamish the sole of the foot. The yosef called some slay bechala. He was the drichel chamer. The drichel chamra. He saw that he was soaking.
Because the
donkey,
it says here,
I'm sorry, not wine, I'm sorry. Cham means a donkey, I'm sorry. He stepped on him.
Right.
Someone stepped on his foot. Chazi, he saw the dricha lechar chamora agaba dekara. It was a terrible accident. A donkey stepped on his foot. He was injured. What did he do? V'yosef kotzama slei b'chala. And he was soaking his foot in vinegar on Shabbos.
To take down the swell.
To take down the swell. So what's going on? This you're not allowed to do. Everyone agrees that you're not allowed to soak even when it comes to mechuz. They have wine. Even wine is aser. But everyone agrees, even the roughest and the toughest, agree that vinegar is a refuah. Amalei, what are you doing? Vinegar is forbidden because there's a refuah. Amalei, no, this was the sole of the foot. And the sole of the foot is sakonis nefashis. There's an injury on the sole of the foot, then you must do everything in your power immediately on Shabbos. Amalei, gav, hayad, v'gav, a regal, shiny, because of sakonis nefashis. He saw that he was soaking his foot in wine. A donkey stepped on him, and he was soaking his feet on wine. Amalei, you're very delicate. You like the B'nai Mechuzah. Just like the B'nai Mechuzah, they are very delicate people, therefore they're not allowed to use wine. You also from that category of people, if you shami alulas. Amalila, so the man lohodim of Rava, Hani B'nai Mechuzah, came with the Fanke, Afil Hamanami Masile, Umar Nami Homa Fanke, you very funny delicate. Amalay, Gav Hayar, the Gavil Shagal, this was the soul of the life, this is different. The Gav Yad, therefore this is more delicate, this is Sakar Safashas. Diyama Rav Adabar, Rahababar Mas, this is very important more for doctors. Doctors know this Gemara very well. Amar Rav, Gav Hayad, the Gav Hareg, palm of the hand. Anyone, any child gets an injury on the palm of the hand, that's it. Right away. That's all right away. You do whatever you need to do on Shabbos. There's no Shabbos. Sakonis nefashas. Gav hayad v'gav regal. It's mitzias. It's sakonis nefashas. Torah Rabbanon, rechatzim b'mei gror. Now these are different types of rivers. Okay, we know where this place is. You know what it's, what is mei gror? It's a river. Okay, it's some river somewhere in the Wild West. They say over here in the article where it is. And the waters are number 30. It's salty. The waters of Gror doesn't say where they are. Okay, it's somewhere out there. Another salty river. B'mei Astia. B'mei Tveria. Okay, that was something we know, right? B'mei Tveria. You can do it because all of these waters, it's not Nikar Lehegi that you're doing L'Shem Refua. Even though, why are you going for a stroll in the shallow waters of Gror on Shabbos? What are you doing? It's hot. I'm going to immerse my feet in the Mei Gror. That's not what you're doing it for. I know the truth. You're going there because you have a marker on your feet, and the salt, the minerals that are found in these waters are therapeutic. So therefore, that's why you're doing it. Don't tell anyone. You know the secret. But not everyone knows the secret. Most people will assume it's a hot day. I'm going to cool off on Shabbos. You're allowed to do this. As long as someone can be choshed you for the right reason, there's a possibility you're doing it for the right reason. Therefore, it's going to be mutter. All those good. The Yam HaGadol L'Chora is the Mediterranean. Right? That's what we're going to assume now. Sometimes the Amagel refers to the Atlantic. Pasht is over here, it depends on the context. How it says Pasht over here is the Mediterranean, you know, because the Mediterranean is so salty, if it's Pasht, the only reason why you would dip your feet in the shallow waters of the May, of you walk along the shore of the Mediterranean, so you're going for refuah. You don't go with the Mediterranean to cool off on Shabbos. You go there for refuah, and therefore it's osur. The loy b'mei mishra. Mishra is water that you soak flax. Water that you soak flax becomes very potent, very, very powerful. And you only go there for refuah. The loy b'mei yamashal stone. Dead Sea. People go to Eretz, it's a big business. Dead Sea, you go to the Dead Sea to soak and float, it's therapeutic, it's healthy. We have a stira, rechatzim made fair. You have a fair, she allowed to. Uviyam ha-godl, avaloybi made mishra. You have a fair, she allowed these two things. You can go. You can go into made fair, and you can go to yam ha-godl, it's mutter, these two cases. Avaloybi made mishra. Okay, that I'm asking. That I agree to you. That, no kasha, that's also. Veloybi yam ha-shel stoim, but kosha yam ha-godl, al yam ha-godl. And also Meitferio we learned is, no, that's not a kash, that's mutter. Meitferio we learned is mutter, and here the only one that's a steer is Yamagodol, because Meitferio we learned above is also mutter, because not every people go there to cool off. But Yam HaGodol, that you have no way out. Rabbi Yochanan, he was married to Yisrael, so he's talking new from this. He was married to Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan. So the first answer, we have two answers. The first answer is Ein Hachinamitz Machlekes Tanoim. And the Gemara is going to bring a makar for this. So what are the, is there a difference between the Yam HaGadol and let's say the Yam Tveria? Do we make such a distinction between the Mediterranean and the other rivers and large bodies of water to be found in the region of Eretz Yisrael? So the Tanan, where do we find this Machlekes Tanoim? The kol hayam kimikva shenemar ulamikve hamayim karayamim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir is a very big chum. We don't pass him like this. And he says, if you want to go to the mikvah, there are two fundamental differences between the mikvah and a spring. What's the difference? Spring water does not need to be stationary. when the spring water, if you have a real spring, a real deal, a real spring coming out of the ground, and you want to be tovelit, you can dip in the water even though the water is moving. It's flowing. But if you have a mikvah, let's say you have water that's not spring water, it's rain water, and it's moving. Let's say it's a river. It's a river, not a yam. It's a river coming down. The mountains melted snow, and the water is moving. It's not kosher. If you want to use a river, you have to channel it off into a pond, and it should be stationary. Mikveh means the water is collected. It must be collected. So here's the big dilemma. What about a sea? A yam. What's the status of a sea? Is a sea called a mayon, a fountain? Or is a sea called a river? If it's a river and the water is flowing, it's no good. If a sea is flowing, a yam is always flowing. So if you have to make it to a pond, where it's holding is like a lake, stationary. So what status does the yam hagodol have? Or what status for that matter does any large body of water have? So here machlekes. Kol hayam is very interesting to Gemara. Kol hayamim, all seas, it doesn't make any difference. Ki mikveh has a status like a mikveh. Shenemar ule mikveh hamayim kol yam, and therefore, if it's flowing, it's no good. It's very, very machmer. Let's see Rashi. Okay, it's much we can see. Kol hayamim l'chol ha-taras ha-mikveh. V'ein l'chem taras mayim. All seas, all large bodies of water that are not in the category of a spring, have a status of a mikveh, a gathering of water. V'ein l'chem taras mayim. Ubo uma ben mikveh l'mayim. Okay, this is a gevaldige Rashi. A yisodistic Rashi. Always come back and reference. To. What's the chilek between a mikveh and a mayim? And a mayim, the fountain. Hamayim, the fountain, kosh l'tvila zov, yihazov, sipor mitzoyra. The mayim chayim, him. Number one, he said, when it comes to a zov, you need mayim chayim. A river is no good. A mikveh, mayim, you go to a mikvah, the best mikvah in America, in Eretz Yisrael, is not kosher. You go over here, show me the best mikvah in this neighborhood, the best mikvah is not going to help a zav or a mitzvah. A zav and a mitzvah need a mayon. That's the erste zach. Ulekadesh mechatas. And when you want to make the mechatas, what do you need a mayon? You don't need a mikvah. The best mikvah is no good. The bekulu mayim chayim ksev, bezav ksev, it says, v'rachatz b'sav mayim chayim. B'mitzvah ksev, el keli, El kli cheres al mayim chayim. B'mechatas kiv it says mayim chayim el keli. Ubatar tmei matayv l'mayim b'mayim el kshem zoychalin. Next yisoid that a mayon has a leniency that the metaher nida or a man, even if they're flowing, if the spring is flowing, it's in movement, it's in constant movement, it's flowing down a hill, it's good. Kishahein zoychalin u'mekalchin. Two words doing the same thing when they flow. Which are collected water. It's a pond. It's not going nowhere. That's why you have a whole filter. Very big shayla in the mikvos today. Filter. The filter causes the water to be constantly moving around. Not so poshut. Vim hitvil b'meimov derech zichiloson. If you eat toivel in its waters, derech zichiloson b'mikveh kitafres in a mikvah that is stationary, einam tfila atshehei b'makam ashbarin shaloi kavin, until the place that is collected is stationary. I'm then behind the time between Kahanim. A man mayon to matar bezechlin af mikveh matar bezechlin tamulamar ach mayon matar bezechlin. The mikvah be ash boyren means collected stationary. Zehu ze perusha matar bezechlin b'chol makom v'ani loy shemakel zehu perush matar bezechlin b'chol makom v'ani loy shemadikay v'ani mikvah kashal tefilat zav la'zoyes and sayro lekadosh mechatas v'chol yam kemik. So now here's a shaila. So now we go to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, we know what the halacha is when it comes to a mikvah. We know what the halacha is when it comes to a mayan. Now my dilemma is, what about a yam? What status does a yam have? Is it kosher for a tmitzorah? Is a yam kosher for a zof? Is the yam kosher because it's flowing? So Rabbi Meir says, no good for nothing. Rabbi Meir says, Amaya says everything is no good. No good. Rabbi Yehuda Amaya, so here's what we need for Al-Gumar. He's mechalik, he differentiates. Okay, that's what we need for Al-Gumar. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yam ha-gadol ki-mikvei, v'loi nemar yamim, elo sheyesh boi, Rabbi Yehuda Amaya, Yam ha-gadol ki-mikvei, v'loi nemar yam, elo sheyesh boi mine yamim harbei. All seas, all of the various large bodies of water in Eretz Yisrael, like the Yam Tveria and the Yam Gror, May Tveria, May, what was the other example we had? We had a few different examples. May Asya, May Chamton, May Gror, May Tveria, four places. Gror, Chamton, Asya, Tveria, they are kosher for Azov. They have the status of a Mayon. The only body of water that does not have the status of a Mayon is only the Yam HaGodol. Because the Pasuk says explicitly, it says in the Pasuk, Ulamikveh HaMayim Kora Yamim. And Ulamikveh HaMayim means the Yam HaGodol. Because into this area, this body of water, many streams of water flow. Many different streams empty out. So therefore, the Mediterranean is called the Mikveh HaMayim. And only the Mikveh HaMayim, only that mayim, only that is called a mikveh. But everything else in the world is called a mayon. And everything else is going to be kosher. So what do we take away from Yehuda? This critical for Gemara, that there's a difference between the Yam HaGodol and all of the other seas. Therefore, there's a difference between the Meitzferia, Measya, Meigror, and the Yam HaGodol. Now we come to the third opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, Yam Gadol Mikveh, V'lo Nemar Yam. The reason why it says in the Pull of the Torah is before the El Sheish Vaminim Min Yam Habe. Rabbi Yosi Meir, Kol Hayamim Mitahadim Mizaychalim. Even the Yam Hagadol Poslim Mizavim, but even though it's going to be kosher as a good mikvah, but it's not good for a Zavul Mitzarim L'Kashem Nechatos. He differentiates in a different respect. He holds they're all kosher for a person that needs to go to mikvah, even though they're flowing, but they're all not kosher for a zav and a mitzayra. Okay, look at Rashi. Rashi says, look at Rashi. Rabbi Yosef with the third opinion, Kol Hayam V'Yam HaGodol Toras Mayim Zoichlim Aleihem Le'inyin, only with regard Shehem Mitaharin B'Zoichalin. Why? He dies in this time of Dikra, because that's their nature. They flow. And just like a Mayan flows, the seas also flows. But you can't go so far to say that the kosher for a Zav and a Mitzayra and Mechatos, because by a Zav and a Mitzayra Mechatos, it explicitly says Mayim Chayim. And Mayim Chayim can only be used to identify a real Mayim, not a sea. Because the Torah still calls it a mikveh. Okay, now what do we want out of Gemara? What do we want out? So we ended this memory. The Gemara doesn't follow through. The answer is we had a stira. One Brisa said that you're allowed to go on Shabbos, take a dip in Megror, Mechamson, Meitzeria, but not in the Yam HaGodol. No, off limits. Not in the Yam HaGodol. And the other Brisa said, just like I can go into Meitzeria, go to the Yam HaGodol also. Gesund, hey, do whatever you want. Stira. The answer is machlokes between the last two, to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosi. Just like Rabbi Yehuda is not mechalek, it's all the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda was the one that said, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi was the one, the last one, all the Zelbazach, Yam HaGadol is exactly the same as all the other seas. He will be the Tana that says, you can go for a dip on Shabbos in the Yam HaGadol, because the Yam HaGadol is just like Meitzferia. The Tanakhama that said that the first prize, that you're not allowed to go for a dip in the Yam HaGadol, he differentiates between the Yam HaGadol and the other Yam, will be following Rabbi Yehuda. Now what's the obvious kashya? You write it what you think. I'm sure you're thinking, my inyan zelzeh, my inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. Here we're dealing with Shabbos, and the issue is, does it bring refuah? So maybe you can say a svara of the Yam HaGadol, the salt content of the Yam HaGadol is at a much, much higher level than the salt salt content of Neitzveria. So the Yam HaGadol is Zoster, it's Refuam, the Yam Teria is Mutter, Mayin Zelazeh. Whereas when it comes to the laws of Nikveh, Nayon, Hayiluchot L'Hayiluchot, it's Gzeres HaKosav, Zedarkon B'kach, Menela, Zoichelin is good. So what's the Gemara's comparison? Maskel Rav Nachman or Yitzchak? What are you comparing over here? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi by a sugya of Nikveh, Mayin, and then Zoichelin, you're comparing this. The Gemara says correct. Gerecht. You're right. 100%. It was a big mistake to make this comparison. So we're back with the stira. The stira now has to be reinstated. Are you allowed to go for a dip in the yam or not? It depends for how long you sit and wait in the Yam HaGadol. If you go to the Yam HaGadol in and out, 1, 2, 3, that's okay. That's rechitza. That's cooling off. But if you're going to soak, you're going to sit there for 5 minutes and keep your feet in there for a very prolonged period of time, then it's nickel ahead, you're doing it for the purpose of refuah. When it comes to the other waters, then even for a long time it's okay. So the Gemara now says, wait a minute. So the So what are you going to tell me? That the second brice that says that it's mutter to go for a dip in the Yam HaGadol is the lo yishtehe, where you only went in and went out. E the lo yishtehe, but if you didn't go for a long period of time, the very same brice has said that you're not allowed to go to the Yam HaMelach, and you're not allowed to go into Mei Mishra, water that was used to soak flax. Why not? If you're only going in for a split second, you can go into Mei Mishra as well. I have another brice that explicitly says that going in for a split second is mutter even by Mei Mishra. Igla Yishtar, I feel the Mei Mishra Rishon Amid, Netanya, Rechatsim in Mei Tveria, you can go with Mei Tveria, over Mei Mishra. You can go to the Mei Mishra also. The Yamashal, even Yamashal Stoim. Hear how far it goes. You go when? Vyabi Shiesh Loi Chatotim Beroisha, even though you're going to dip your head, you have sores on your head. And the only reason why you're going is in order to cure these sores, the salt of the Yam HaMelech is a cure. Baba Medim Amburim, Shaloi Nishtoho. Ah, you don't dip for a long time. Avo Nishtoho, Osir, it's Osir. Avo, Elo, so we're back with this. So Nochamol, strike two. We first wanted to give an answer. Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Yossi. Or, no, not Rabbi Meir, I'm sorry, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Same thing, for the Rabbi Meir was not Machalik at all. He was not Machalik, all exactly the same. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda. That was the Gemara's first answer. And then the Gemara gave and said that wasn't a good answer because he can't complete the case of Shabbos in the case of Tumah V'Tahara. Then the second answer was Ishtoi. But that's also not a good answer because if we're going Lo Ishtoi, then it's Mutar after the Mei Mishra. And the Rai says Mei Mishra is also. So the Gemara now finally gives the answer. So the Gemara says Al Shalosh Afil Ella Yamagol Yamagol Kasha Habi Yafin Sheboi Habi Rom Sheboi. Ah. There are different parts of the Mediterranean. There's the Mediterranean near Tel Aviv, and there's the Mediterranean near Libya, near Lebanon. Go up higher. Whatever, I don't know, I'm just joking. There are different parts of the Mediterranean. Some parts are more salty than others. So the parts that are called Roim, that is also. The parts that are Yafin, that don't have so much salt content, I guess they're in vicinity of other streams of regular fresh water which empty in that region. It's not so salty, then it's not Nikol Hedya that you're doing in L'Shem Rifua. So there are two different parts. There are multiple areas of the Amelach which have different degrees of salt. Like Kasha, Habi Yafin Sheboi, then it's Mutar, Habi Ram Sheboi. And Mei Mishra, Mei Mishra, Lenami, like Kasha. How do we answer the difference between Mei Mishra, Mei Mishra? Because one place it says you can go to the Mei Mishra, that's the same thing. That remains the same. When is it Mutar to go into the Mei Mishra? For a split second. But if you want to dip there for a prolonged period of time, in Achanami, that's the other price that says Mei Mishra is going to be Osir. Okay, next Mishra. Eichlin is Biyoin. B'Shabbos. Is Biyoin is a certain type of exotic herb. Okay? Now, because it's only in L'Shem Refuah. It's not meant to help you. It's only meant for sick people. You're allowed to eat your Yezer. Because it's not only for sick. People eat this as a delicacy. We'll see about what these things are. You can eat whatever you want on Shabbos, no limit. And even though your kavon is l'shem refuah, it's okay as long as other people are not aware. As long as there are other people that eat this not l'shem refuah, then it's mutter. That's the exception. Made the kolam is only eating l'shem refuah. So we'll see. There's a very big chesh Rashi. The person is a sick person. If he's sick, it's nicker that he said he's drinking made the kolam, water that I guess they extract from palm trees, or they soak parts of the palm tree in water, and they produce some type of medication, some type of potion. This cannot be drunk on Shabbos. It's nikkel the Shem Rufua. The kois e karin. What is kois e karin? These are roots. Okay, there's certain the roots which are extracted from the ground, and they are grinded, and they are soaked in water, and this is only drunk with Shem Rufua. B'nei shehein liyoreka. It's jaundice. Someone that suffers from this disease called Yeroka will drink it and will be healed. It's obvious l'shem refuah, and therefore it is oster on Shabbos. Obvious the person is not in pikuach nefesh. Avol shayshu made the kolam l'tzamoi. Now there's Rabbi Chish. Let's say a person that is 100% healthy, because you look at him, he has clear skin. He's not green. He's not yellow. See, this is a very big chiddush in Rashi. Lama Farshim, they discussed at great length. The steer in Rashi, right over here, is in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it's made the kolam. On the one hand, it's made the kolam is categorically oser. On the other hand, made the kolam is mutter. Litzama, if you drink it for your thirst, it's mutter. What's going on? So the answer is as follows. Made the kolam is only refuah. Here, so there's a very chiddush. It's only drunk l'shem refuah. But it doesn't hurt to drink it if you're not sick. So here's the deal. If a person looks sick, he has yeroka, he looks, he's green. Okay, you look at him. This guy's not well. And you see him drinking made the kolam. That means it's clear you're drinking made the kolam l'shem refuah. Because you don't drink made the kolam other than awesome. But let's say the person looks great. He looks the picture of health. So why are you drinking made the kolam? Only a choyla drinks made the kolam. It must be he ran out of seltzer. So he wants to drink made the kolam. Oh, but made the kolam is only for sick people. Okay, you're right. It's talk only for sick people, but it's not going to hurt a healthy person drinking, so therefore it's going to be mutter. Some of the soch shemini karm l'shalei fu, and a person also can smear his body with shemini karm, this oil which is extracted from roots of trees, shalei l'refua, because people also do this shalei l'shem refua, as long as it's not nikkur that he is doing l'shem refua, it's mutter. Okay, well, stop here.